We're going to read from the book of James, verse 13 through 17, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible version. If you are curious, the version in your pews is the ESV, so this is a little different. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin.
Good morning, everybody. One beautiful prayer by Jeff. To lose a young person kind of fits right in with today's message about the shortness of our life and the not knowing what the future is going to bring. How appropriate God's timing is. As we begin this new year, we find ourselves in the book of James learning about seeking God's will for our planning. James gives us insight in how to plan for our future. Let me pray for us, and we'll get into God's word this morning. Father God, thank you for just in a world that is so chaotic, so dark, just so lost, Lord, we are so grateful that you have given us this place and this time to be together today, to lift up one another, to pray for one another, just to walk in step with one another, Lord, as we look to you for direction and guidance. We pray for understanding from your word this morning. We know what it is to plan, Lord. Give us insight into what it is to plan in alignment with your will. We're so grateful that you are our God, that you lead us where we need to go, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, we continue with the conclusion of chapter 4. James has shown us in this chapter how pride and worldliness can cause conflict in the church. He follows this up with the cure for worldliness, humbling ourselves before God. Last week, we were exhorted not to speak evil or slander one another. In today's passage, James is confronting those who are leaving God out of their planning. They were arrogantly boasting in their plans, as if they were already complete and successful. We cannot know the future. It is foolish to boast about our plans as if we do. We can set things in motion, but we cannot know or control the outcome. But we do know the one who does. Our life in this world is short compared to eternity. The future is not knowable or predictable, but God has a plan for our future. Since God knows the future, we should be seeking his will for the plans that we make. God has a plan for each of our lives, just as he had a plan for the prophet Jeremiah. God tells Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. God has laid out the future from the beginning, Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. God has laid out his plan for us as if it were a pool full of pristine, crystal clear water. We have been washed clean by the living water, who is Jesus Christ. And yet when we leave God out of our planning, it is as if we went and rolled in the mud and then jumped into the pool. We just muddied up the waters and can no longer see clearly where we are going or how we will get there. If God knows the end from the beginning and has included us in his plans that he will accomplish, should we not submit our plans to him every single day? So let's get into our passage beginning in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while, then vanishes. James begins this passage with a call to attention. Listen up, he says. Then he reprimands those who boast about their future business plans. Plans made without recognizing God's sovereignty in all things. These are not only their business plans, but these plans will affect every aspect of their life. They are quite specific and confident in which town they will go to. We will spend a year there, we will do business, and we will make a profit. We will. What about God's will? It sounds like a reasonable business plan. There's nothing wrong with planning for the future. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plan of the diligent leads surely to plenty." You all know how the virtuous wife of Proverbs 31 diligently plans for her family and their future. God also uses the ant as an example of the diligent planning. In Proverbs 6:6-8, he says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief or officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest." Planning for the future was not the problem. The problem was these men failed to include God in their planning. Jesus gives us the example in the parable of the rich fool to drive this message home. In Luke 12:16-21, Jesus tells the parable saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops?' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" The rich fool also left God out of his planning, not considering the brevity of life. Again, we see the phrase, "I will, I will, I will." The problem does not lie in the planning, but in the arrogant presumption of knowing what is going to happen with our future. We do not know when the end will come. It could come today or tomorrow. It could come 30 years from now. Are we so arrogant that we would take control of our own life rather than have God in control of it? Let me share a story of a man who had made his plans for life and left God out of it. This man made what he thought were good plans to use his skills to help others, to build wealth, and to care for his parents as they aged. He was unconcerned about the things of God. And his plan was beginning to gain momentum. Then God came along with his plan for the man's life. He brought him a wife he did not expect to have. Together they agreed on the plan and continued with it. But God took away their ability to fulfill their plans. And brought his plan to bear on their lives. God changed the man's heart and saved him. He now knew God's plan for his life, and he was all in. God then blessed the man beyond measure with a family that loved God and loved him. A blessing worth much more than all the wealth he could have attained. God's plan will come to pass whether we think we're going to participate or not. Life is short, so let's submit ourselves to him, participating in his plan, instead of leaving him out of our plans. He loves us and has proven that his plan is far superior to our plans. In their planning, these men have no apparent awareness of life is short and uncertain. We do not know what will happen tomorrow. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 90:10, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. The Apostle Paul tells the church at Ephesus to be wise and walk carefully, making the best use of your time to fulfill the purposes of God. To do this, he says, be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is. We do not know how much time the Lord is giving us in this world. What we do know is we are to understand the will of the Lord and make the best use of our time being obedient to him. James continues in verse 15, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Instead of making our plans, we must seek God's will for our plans and watch him work out the details of our future. Proverbs 16, 1 through 3 says, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. When we say, if the Lord wills, we recognize God as the sovereign Lord over our life. We revere him, putting him first in our lives. We are saying that we trust him and depend on him completely. When we leave God out of our plans, we are living in disobedience to him. He has a plan for our life, but we choose to leave him out. When we arrogantly boast of our accomplishments, we are walking in the world. We boast as if we are in control of our life. Arrogant boasting is evil. However, we do have something to boast about. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, 17 and 18, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but it the one who the Lord commends. Let us commit our plans to the Lord and boast in him as we see him work out our plans for his glory and our good. To help us seek his will, there are several principles in his word we can apply in our planning. We will begin with the most foundational principle, trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, very familiar with it. You hear it a lot here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. This trust is not only an acknowledgement that we believe in a sovereign God, but it confirms that we are submitted to his will. We are following the example of the Lord Jesus, who said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." The next principle, we are to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God." If we are truly seeking the will of God for our life, we must be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God, who will give us understanding of what God is revealing to us. We then obey God's will as we are led by the Spirit. Third principle, commit our plans to prayer. Many people came up to me this morning and said they were praying for me. It's just amazing. Prayer will get us through. We need to be praying for Pastor Ryan, praying for me. You guys are amazing who pray for us. Prayer will get us through. When we commit our plans to prayer, we commit our work to the Lord and our plans will be established. We are not asking for his blessing on our plans. We are asking for his counsel and direction so that our plans might align with his will. He will then fulfill his plans. Principle four, we can ask God for wisdom. James 1:5 tells us, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." We are to seek wise counsel. Proverbs 15:22, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." We should seek advice from wise people who can help us make wise decisions that lead to successful plans. And then we are to plan responsibly. Proverbs 21:5 tells us, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes to poverty." To give ourselves the greatest chance of success, we are not to be hasty in our planning, but our plans are to be diligent and responsible. And the last principle I find to be the most challenging to consistently implement, wait on the Lord. Psalm 135 says, "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope." To wait on the Lord is to trust in his timing. He has seen the end from the beginning and has a plan for us. We must not insist on pushing our plans forward, but wait on his perfect timing. While we are waiting, what should we do? We continue spending time with him in his word and keep doing the last thing that he told us to do until he tells us to do something else. Our success is not wrapped up in our plans, but in the Lord's will. We should humbly submit every aspect of our lives to him. For it is God who gave us life, it is God who gives us life, and it is God who will one day take us home to be with him. Amen. James finally tells us in verse 17, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." James is very clear here that knowledge comes with responsibility. When we know what is right, we have an obligation to do what is right. When we know what the will of God is in any situation and we choose not to do it, we are sinning. James earlier in chapter 1 told us that we needed to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. It is not only what we do, But it is also what we do not do that we are accountable for. We see this illustrated well in the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was beaten, robbed, and left for dead. Both of the religious leaders, a priest and a Levite, came across the man but chose not to stop and help him. But the Samaritan saw the injured man and had compassion on him. He bound his injuries and then took him to an inn and cared for him. The Good Samaritan knew what was right and acted on that knowledge by doing good to his neighbor. He was doing God's will. Has the Lord told us something to do that we have yet to do? Our life in this world is short. We do not know what tomorrow will bring. Therefore, let us be wise, making the best use of our time by understanding what the will of the Lord is and do it. The Apostle Paul was continually making ministry travel plans. His planning included seeking the Lord's will. In 1 Corinthians 4:19, he says, "But I will come to you if the Lord wills." 5 times the Apostle Paul references God's will in making his travel plans. Warren Wiersbe writes, "Paul did not consider the will of God a chain that shackled him. Rather, it was a key that opened doors and set him free." James is telling us, as the Apostle Paul did, to seek the will of God for all our plans. God's will is the key that sets us free from the shackles of worldliness. We stay in step with God's will as we learn to walk in obedience to His word every day. Some 30 years ago, as a new believer, I was very excited about my faith. Excited about studying the Bible and learning about my new life in Christ. Yet to understand the will of God seemed like a mystery. It seemed beyond my reach. It seemed like it was only for the very spiritual. I'm here to tell you that God's will is not a mystery. He reveals to us what He wants us to know of His will. God's sovereign will is hidden, and He alone knows what it is. What He reveals to us belongs to us forever. In Deuteronomy 29:29, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law." His revealed will consists of what He has told us about Himself and His ways in His word. In the Scriptures, He has revealed to us His will that we might be obedient to Him. It is important that we know and understand the will of God so that we can be obedient to it. Jesus very clearly knew what God's will was for His life. In His very first "I am" statement, Jesus proclaims, this is John 6:38-40, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." The first step to knowing and doing God's will, then, is to believe in Jesus Christ and surrender our life to Him as our Lord and Savior. Jesus said in Mark 3:35, "Whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, and my mother." Whoever does the will of God is in the family of God. So a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ will naturally desire to do the will of God. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 48, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. We delight to do God's will because, as Ezekiel 36 says, God has given us a new heart and a new spirit, causing us to walk in obedience to his word. When we believed, our hearts were transformed to know and delight in God's law, which is God's revealed will. If you are like me, you won't always succeed at doing his will. When we fail to do his will, we will feel guilt, sorrow, perhaps even shame in doing so. Nevertheless, his will is the driving desire behind our lives. Again, the psalmist cries out to God in Psalm 143:10, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your good spirit lead me, let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Even though we have the desire to do his will, we still need God to teach us how. He does this through the leading of the Holy Spirit. We rely on the Spirit of God to help us turn away from our worldly habits and empower us to do the will of God. The Apostle John tells us the things of the world are not from God, and the world is passing away. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. We must not only turn away from the world, but surrender ourselves completely to God, that we may discern his will. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 12 to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice, no longer being conformed to this world, but being transformed by renewing our minds that we may discern the will of God. It is the renewing of our minds through the power of God's word that allows us to discern the will of God. By testing our thoughts, desires, and decisions against the Word of God, we can discern if our will is aligning with His will. Hebrews 4:12 tells us it is the Word of God that discerns the thoughts and intents of our heart. We must be intentional about reading, meditating on, and studying God's Word every single day. As we become familiar with it, we will see the will of God being revealed to us. Knowing God's Word is knowing God's will. As we pray and read His Word, the Spirit of God helps us discern and obey His will, fulfilling it in our lives. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for today. We praise you for your holy word, Lord. We are so grateful that you have not left us to struggle on our own, but you have given us your word. You've given us your spirit, and you have promised to teach us, Lord. You have put in us a new heart, given us a new mind, and given us the desire, Lord, to seek your will every day. And we just praise you for that. We thank you. And we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.